Warriors-Cavaliers Game 5 set for Monday night at Oracle Arena. And on Sunday, Warriors head coach Steve Kerr addressed the media. Let's listen in.
Hi, Steve. Ann Killian with the San Francisco Chronicle. I know you guys just want to get this fourth win, but how motivating is it to have the chance to do it at home in front of your fans? And I think you won rings on the road and at home. And I'm just, what's the difference in the feeling?
You personally?
Equally as satisfying. Doesn't matter where you win it. You just want to win it. Coming into the series, in every series we play, first round, second, finals, whatever, you want to do exactly what we've done. Win the first two and get a split. So we're right where we want to be. Disappointed that we didn't play better the other night, but aware that we were playing a great team. And they were desperate and they outplayed us. So we're where we need to be. We'd love to take care of business. We're planning on playing a lot better tomorrow, and we'll see what happens.
Shelly
Smith, ESPN. What do you think it means to Draymond to have another chance to sort of right what happened last year?
Draymond doesn't look back much, you know. I just think he's excited to be in this position, to have a chance to win another championship and be his second. And to do it against a great team would be special. But you just want to do it. You just want to get it done. And all the other stuff doesn't really matter.
He says he never says anything he doesn't mean. He means everything he says. Yeah. Do you believe that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Back right.
Steve, Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. The Kyrie Irving from the last two games and the Kyrie Irving from the first two games, what's been the biggest difference, and does it go beyond just making shots?
You'd have to ask him. I mean, our defense was better first two games, but sometimes it's just whether the shot goes in or not. He was brilliant the last two games, brilliant, and we got to do a little better job on him. But there's only so much you can do against certain guys, and so we'll try our best to make things a little tougher on him, with full awareness that he may go for 40 again. Who knows?
Tim Kawakami, Mercury News. Steve, obviously your first loss in a long time the other night. How hard or easy is it for you as the coach to say, okay, now we change everything, or is it pretty easy for you to say, go with what we've done to get this point?
It doesn't make any difference. Like, if we were 15-6 right now instead of 15-1, we'd be thinking the exact same way. You take each game, you make your adjustments, you figure out what you can do better, and you do it. And we have a versatile team. We have a lot of guys who play. So we're comfortable making a couple tweaks here or there, rotation changes, stuff like that. We may do some of that, but you know, I always say the biggest adjustment in the playoffs that you make is always an emotional one. You know, you can tweak some things, but are we going to play hard? You know, are we going to get after it and compete? Or are we going to do what we did the other night, which is allow three-point shooters to get open, get broken down at the point of attack, give up offensive boards? That's up to us. That's nothing strategic. That's more competitive-wise.
And did you see that, the passion, maybe the urgency, right from the beginning of the last game?
Yeah, from the very first play, I saw it.
Nate, third row on the left.
Nate Duncan, Dunked On Podcast. Coach, we've only seen 17 minutes for the lineup with Draymond at center and Andre Iguodala. How come we haven't seen as much as that? I know there's been some foul trouble with Draymond, and can we expect to see more of that going forward?
Every game's different, you know. If we don't have to go to that lineup, we don't need to. You know, if we're winning and we want to stay big in order to handle the rebounding with Thompson, maybe we'll stay with Zaza. If we're down and we feel like we need to speed the pace up, maybe we'll do that. But every game is unique to its own circumstances, and we just adapt accordingly.
Do you feel like there's a downside to going to that lineup earlier, even if, you know, the game is not getting out of hand?
Not necessarily. We were playing so poorly, it didn't matter who we had out there for the reasons I just listed. We weren't boxing out. We weren't defending the point of attack. Our screen and roll defense was bad, letting all the shooters get open, offensive boards. So in that case, it doesn't matter who's out there. But again, if the circumstances dictate it, we'll play that lineup longer. It's not a lineup I've played for more than 16, 18 minutes in any game, I would say, over the last few years. Maybe 2 years ago in the finals, we played Andre a little bit longer. But even that game, we went big, you know, with David and Festus Ezeli. So it's not easy playing small for, you know, 40 minutes, especially against a good rebounding team.
Howard in the middle.
Howard Beck, Bleach Report. Steve, we've seen Durant be pretty forceful in the way he's played in this series. When you've got as many weapons as you do, how much of how a game progresses is about what you plan for? How much is it just about the players taking the moment themselves? How much of it just kind of evolves naturally?
It's always a combination. You know, we can do some better things offensively, put our guys in better positions. But the players have to compete and make plays, and it's all about the players. And our job as coaches is to pick a few things that we see and maybe make a play call here or there or change a rotation here or there. But ultimately, it's about competing and letting the talent take over.
When you've added a guy like Durant, is there a temptation to just say, look, this is why he's here. Let's make sure we take full of every advantage.
I didn't hear you, Howard. I'm sorry.
The fact that when you've added Durant to your group, though, that's the advantage that you wanted different than a year ago. So is there any effort to just say, look, this is something we have to exploit to the hilt?
Yeah, absolutely. There's, you know, we have a whole different set of weapons. That we can go to. And so, do we get him the ball more? Or do we get him the ball in a different place? He's already doing pretty well, you know. How can we exploit him in other ways? You know, put him on one side and attack the other side of the floor and create a switch. I mean, those are all things we talk about, and we have to figure that out.
Janie?
Hi, Steve. Janie McCauley from AP. Kevin was just up here and said that on some of the threes, you could have made a sandwich by the time you got to the shooters. How do you get to those guys a little bit faster just to keep them from getting quite such a good look?
Well, it all starts on the ball. If you get broken down at the point of attack, now you have to help, and now the dominoes start falling, and you know they're swinging the ball side to side, and they got shooters everywhere. So our on-ball defense has to be better. Our pick-and-roll defense has to be better.
Rachel?
Steve, I guess just following up on what Howard said, is it even possible to overstate how much more of a luxury it is as a coach to have for a Game 5 of the NBA Finals in your toolbox, Draymond Green and Kevin Durant compared to last year?
A totally different situation, different team. They're a different team also. We're in a much better position this year. We're healthy, and we've got Kevin Durant. That's a good thing. But they're better, too. They're a better team, too. We have to bring it. We gotta go take this game and do it with efficiency and competitive defense and an alertness, an awareness for 48 minutes. We didn't have any of that in Game 4.
Hang on the right.
Stuart Barry, News Group. Steve, Steph Curry is getting double teamed a lot, particularly coming off screens. You're getting double teamed without the ball. How do you combat that? They obviously do it a lot. I mean,
yeah, they did a good job on him in Game 4. Mm-hmm. And, we ran a lot of on-ball stuff in the first half. We ran a lot of off-ball stuff in the second half. Hardest thing is playing from behind no matter what. It's difficult. We're down 20, you know, right away in the first quarter. And so playing from behind is a difficult proposition, and you start searching for some things, and we were scattered the rest of the game. But there's some things we can do. To free him up, and we'll try that tomorrow.
The other part, getting back to the 3-point defense.
I can't hear you, Carl.
Is this a much better 3-point shooting team in the Cavs this year?
Yeah, believe? They were good last year too, mm-hmm. But this year's team, you know, obviously adding Korver was a big deal. You know, 2 years ago, it was funny watching the finals from 2 years ago. It's like a different game. Like, I didn't even recognize Cleveland. LeBron was posting up every play. The game was played in a tiny little circumference. They've changed so much over the last 2 years. It started last year, and they've even evolved further this year. They spread you out like nobody.
Thank you.
Monty.
Monty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area. Steve, you have said in the past that after a loss, it's easier to coach after you lose a game.
Yeah.
Does that still apply this deep into the postseason? And what are some of the things that you saw on video, and what was the tone of the reaction of what you did see?
It's easier as a staff to see weaknesses when you're watching a loss. You see the forest for the trees, you know, when you lose. When you win, it glosses over some things. So we saw a lot of things on tape. Most of the stuff I already mentioned, not boxing out, not handling one-on-one defense very well, a lot of breakdowns communication-wise, and you see all that stuff, and then it's a lot easier for the team to look at it on film, and you go over your game plan, you remind them what you're trying to do, and you go from there.
All last right. Two, Paul, and then on the left side.
Hey, Steve. Paul Flattery, Espionation. You guys asked a lot out of Clay defensively. How would you assess how he's done against Kyrie? They've been primarily matched up against each other, and then his mentality, he so rarely shows emotion. Can that help him against a guy like that?
Yeah, Clay's perfect for that. You know, he's our coach. One of our coaches said he's like the yellow lab who just keeps chasing the ball, like, all day. You know, he doesn't think. He just chases Kyrie all day. Then he gets an open shot, and he just shoots all day. And that's Clay. It's perfect. And I think he's been brilliant. But Kyrie has been amazing, and he's hitting a lot of tough shots.
Good offense and good defense sometimes kind of counter each other out, right?
Yeah, you just tip your hat. I mean, you know, there were some breakdowns, and we could have used more help in certain cases, but you tip your hat, and you go, all right, good shot.
Last quick question on the left.
Steve, Mike Andrew at the Toronto Sun. In terms of setting the tone physically, do you automatically look to Zaza and Tristan in that matchup to sort of be the tone setter?
It's a big part of it, just boxing out. You know, we didn't do as good a job boxing out Thompson last game, and he played a really good game, made a big impact. So it's one of the reasons we love Zaza. He's a very physical player, not afraid to mix it up. And that's an important component tomorrow is, you know, getting a body on Thompson early. Thank you. All right, thanks.
Thanks, Coach.
More Warrior Sound Game 5 coverage from Oracle Arena in store on Monday night. I'm Lawrence Scott, and this is the NBA Finals.